Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/unknownradionetwork.
Terrify Radio. I'm your host, Kevin, with Unknown Paranormal. And joining me, as always, is Ms. Jody Parks. Jody, what is up?
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. I'll be back.
Pretty good. Got a phone call today from my good friend Dakota Lawrence, and they're having a conference over, a small conference over in Shreveport, and he's trying to get me in as a speaker. So that was kind of cool.
Wait, say that again. You're going to be speaking? Wait.
Oh, yeah, girl. Yeah.
Oh, Nice. What are you going to speak about?
Well, it'll
something
probably
original,
be what
I hope.
Oh, yeah. It's thinking outside the box in the paranormal. So, and we talk about it. It's about all my experiments and different things that paranormal teams out there should try doing instead of doing the same old, same old.
I'm so tired of the freaking same old, same old. You know what I've decided to do? I have got so many cameras, okay? Like, just too many. You know, I started buying cameras about 6 years ago. And I've decided I'm going to start selling them. And I'm going to start buying some different types of equipment. But I don't know. I kind of have always wanted to play around with, but nobody's
mm-hmm.
really playing around with, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be blasting eBay here soon with a whole bunch of cameras. And I mean, like, just, you know, some of them are worth, like, I could sell them for, like, $400 each because, I mean, there's one that I have. I freaking hate it, and I've literally used it, like, 2 times.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like it. It's a full spectrum. I don't like mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that, you know, the full spectrum, like, you just, it just doesn't seem like you get the full room. You know what I mean? It's like you get what's right in front of you, and it just seems pointless. So that was a waste of money in my eyes. So it's just been sitting, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get rid of it and go buy some other stuff to fart around with because I am bored being a ghost hunter and using what I'm using now, you know?
Right.
I want to start messing around with other stuff, so I think I'm going to do that. But, yay, so you're going to talk about, like, different stuff, different ways investigating?
Yeah. He hit me up and said, hey, you know, I thought about maybe getting you to come over since you're only an hour from Shreveport. And I said, yeah. And, he's trying to make a deal with them that if they, you know, because they're kind of running on a zero budget, which I know how that works with running an event. And
right.
One of the things that he's trying to get them to do for me to come is to let me give them flyers to put in all the packets that they pass out to the people that come to the conference that would advertise my conference in October. So free advertisement, hell yeah, I'm there. So
wow. So guess what? I found out today that a building went up for sale in Michigan today that was a hideout for Al Pacino, and it went up for auction. Auction ended at 7 o'clock, and I had called them about 2 o'clock today, and it was the bidding was about $30,000 at that point, but it's a haunted it's a haunted hospital that he hit out in, and so somebody snagged that up today, so it'll be interesting to see who bought that and if it is going to be rented out for ghost hunters, you know. And I will go and put that on the Unknown Radio fan page on Facebook right now so people can see that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm still working on the hospital down here, so it's just one of those long processes, but still working on it, still working on it. So hopefully things will work out for that. And, you know, I don't have all the channels on satellite. I wish I did, but I don't have the bio channel. But on Sunday, I got on and watched the newest episode, and lo and behold, who did I see on there? It was Miss Jodie Parks and her son, Nathan.
Yeah, and that was my son's first time ever on TV for his paranormal stuff. You know, I've been hiding my boy because, you know, I wanted him to be a kid. You know what I mean? And but you know, I've been training him for since he was 11. He's 17 now, and I think he did a great job. And he made me so happy because he said that he and I are, you know, that I was his best friend, and that is just so sweet. I love him so much, and him and I are so close, and we have a really, really good relationship, and I think he did really great. What do you think?
This is what I think. Hang on.
Okay. All right. You know, they kind of did a little emphasis on the orbs, you know, control the storyline. But I was getting a little bit blasted online, people making fun about the orb. But I thought that the orb was actually a really good freaking orb flying around that ballroom. It was pretty big and it was pretty bright.
Well, that
and it flew from one end to the other of the ballroom.
Yeah, the thing I liked about it, and you know, I've said this many a times on the show, I'm not a big fan of orbs, but what I liked about that one was it had an intelligence to it, and it wasn't you could tell, you know, because if it's a bug or what, you know, it's easy to pick off a bug if it's that kind of thing. But yeah, I was impressed with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I actually got contacted by them again, and they want me back on for another location that I've actually been sitting on some really great footage, that I haven't released. And, I might actually be going back on possibly with Phil. So, we'll see how that works out. But, you know, a lot of people make fun of my ghost story and don't really feel like it brings credibility to a person. And, you know, that's not why I did it. And that's not why I would do any future episodes. It's about, you know, just telling your story and sharing your evidence that, you know, otherwise may not be on TV. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, I'm not expecting a TV show from it or anything. It's about the fun of it and just being able to share that with their audience, you know. But a lot of people make fun of that show, and it's stupid. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, to each its own. Someone out there is always going to be a smart aleck, you know?
Yeah, and I definitely heard it after the show aired. People were just like, oh, they should have called it, like, the Orb Show. Like, whatever, you know? Have your fun making fun of it, because that was a damn good orb. And, you know, that place is just incredible. And then I don't know if you noticed the mist coming up from the slaughterhouse floor. Did you see that part of the evidence? Nobody was down in that slaughterhouse for a really long time. So that was captured with absolutely nobody down there bothering that camera that could have made that happen. So, but that slaughterhouse, that is the favorite, that's my favorite area to take people, scare people, because there's like, there's a shadow man that hangs out down there, and it has presented itself to so many people that have never seen a shadow person before, and they will come running up and tell me, oh, my God, you know, I saw a shadow person down there. Or I did an event there last June, and there was a group of the Booth brothers were down there, and they actually have it on film. They've never released it. But and Brandon Kreiser, there was a they took a group down there, and Brandon actually felt like a just a cold breeze like fly by him, and then a teenager got scratched on his back, and so that slaughterhouse, it just has just such a creepy feel. I love to take people down there for their first time and just like watch their reaction. And that's actually where I took the guy for 2020 who did the interview with me. I took him down there. I scared him so bad. And the production, the producer, when she finally got the film, she called me up the next day and she said that I scared the guy so bad. She goes, I had to watch the footage over and over and over because she was laughing so hard at his reaction of me scaring him so bad. And it was just classic. She said she watched it like over and over for like 10 minutes and she was crying. So I can't wait for that to come out. I mean, I plotted and schemed that night. I scared him so bad. He was scared of the dark, and you know, I challenged him in ways that probably nobody else would. But you know, I like to push it, so.
Right.
So, but yeah, that place is Mineral Springs Haunted Tour in Alton, Illinois. If anybody ever wants to go out, check that place out, it is. It's my stomping ground. You know, everybody has a stomping ground. That place is mine. So. It was an honor to get that on TV for Janet, who runs the place, you know. It made her so happy.
Awesome.
And she was so happy that my son was the one who was telling the story about it. But, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you. It was a lot of
fun. Welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. Well, I believe our guest is on hold, so I'm going to read a little bit about her, and we're going to get her on air. This week's guest is Morgan Lynn. She's a psychic healer, medium, angel therapy practitioner, and a channel. Morgan Lynn is a spiritual healer, a teacher, and a counselor with a fiery gypsy spirit. She works with angelic realms and other spiritual disciplines to provide her clients supportive and insightful information about their human experience. She is an angel therapy practitioner certified by Doreen Virtue, PhD. Because of her eclecticism, Morgan is able to pull from several tool sets in order to support her clients. Whether the situation calls for past life clearing, entity removal, cord cutting, or cleansing, or chakra realignment, she opens herself to guidance to the angels offer in order to support the highest good of all. Morgan isn't your everyday psychic. Her primary focus is to support people in stepping up and taking back their personal power in their current experience, giving insights and proactive steps to take what will assist them in reclaiming the path they originally set out for themselves. In that, there's the possibility of a promising future. Her greatest joy is seeing a person remember their true divine self and witnessing their awakening. Morgan is also, let's see here, I got to scroll down. Morgan is also a mandala artist, steampunk jewelry designer, and radio show host on Blog Talk Radio. She has a show right here on Blog Talk called Rock What You Got. Or you can go to her website for more information. It's www.embracewithin.com. And that's who we have on tonight. So let me get her on here. Morgan, you with us?
I am. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was that's quite the intro.
That was an awesome intro.
It's really hard to narrow down everything. It's so funny because I just always try to hold myself to be open-minded to practically anything that comes across my path. And so with that, it just, my list keeps getting longer. And then once I'm on a radio show and I hear it read back, I'm like, oh, my God, it's too much. It's too much.
But be proud of it. You know what I mean? You're an educated woman. And rock it. What was the name of your show again?
The show's called Rock What You Got. It's on Blog Talk, like Kevin said. And at the moment, I'm taking a little bit of a break. I've done it a little over 4 years. And so just took a little bit of a break to reset myself and focus on some other projects. But I'm planning on getting back to it in the next couple months.
Good.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with taking a break.
No,
especially
not at all.
4 years of doing it. That's a long time.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. But, yeah, every now and then, just because of the nature of the work that I do, I follow my own guidance. And so when I feel like something that I'm working on starts getting stale or it feels like it needs kind of some new energy brought in, I'll just take a break, meditate on it, reassess everything, and then come back and start over and do something fresh and bring some life into it.
You're a little bit choppy, your phone.
Yeah, so are you.
Actually,
are we?
I'm listening, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Blog Talk.
I was on the show last week, and Blog Talk, it was doing it again. I think it's Blog Talk.
Yeah. I had a little tiff with them last week because my Wednesday show that I have on my network, the host contacted me, Matt, and it was like the third or fourth Wednesday in a row that something happened, either the studio locked up or something, and so I had it out with the Blog Talk people and told them if they didn't fix these issues that I would take my radio network and we would go elsewhere. So I keep my fingers crossed they get it worked out. They said they've been getting attacked by viruses and stuff.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I saw that, actually. I saw, what was it, Fort Worth, Texas guy sent out that they couldn't do the show, that the Blog Talk was down, so they would be back next week. We've only had that happen once, so we've been kind of lucky.
Yeah. But Morgan, you're in Texas. You're in Dallas, aren't you?
I am. I'm in the Dallas area. Yeah.
See, Jody,
so
you're outnumbered tonight. Two people from Texas.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. What'd you say?
Neither did I.
Oh, I said, see, Jody, you're outnumbered tonight. There's two people on air that are from Texas.
Gotcha.
That's
where are
all
you,
right.
Jody?
I've always wanted to ride a cowboy or a cowgirl. So it's all good.
She totally went there.
What's that?
You totally went there. That's awesome.
That's Jody. She doesn't want to hang back.
Nice. Love it.
So, Morgan, just to, like, let the viewers know, could you just, like, give us a little bit, like, about your background, like, when you started knowing that you had gifts and all that stuff? Was it, like, were you a child? Were you a teenager? And stuff like
that?
Yeah,
I'd love to. Yeah, actually, I started kind of, I say kind of in the sense that I knew early on that I could feel spirits. I just didn't know that's what I was doing because my family, we all had something that we did. We all had a trait, a gift, whatever. But none of us understood it, and we just acted like it wasn't there. So we would just kind of ignore it and put it away. And, you know, life takes over and you get busy. And so I put it all away until I was about 27, 28, and that's when it started coming back. But I felt like I was a little bit more equipped at that point. So I started studying it and taking, you know, little mini workshops and classes and things like that. And so I started opening up to it, even though I was still a little afraid of it. At least I felt like I was honoring it, owning it, rather than ignoring it, because that didn't work after a while. It was coming back anyway. And so if I just kept ignoring it, it would only make me more anxious. So I just opened up to it and started educating myself on terminology and tools and what to do to support it, and it started coming back.
That's really cool. Yeah, I find that so many, our generation, especially, older people, they, just like when we were kids, it just wasn't something that was talked about very much, and I don't think that, the public were as educated as they are now about it.
Right.
To help, children with that gift. Just to give you a little brush up of me, I have a 17-year-old son, and he started seeing a little girl around the house when he was 3. But when he got to 11 and he started going through puberty, there was actual poltergeist activity in my house, and things were flying around, and it was crazy. And he came to me one day and just said, "Mom, I think I'm schizophrenic. You need to take me to the doctor." And it was like, "No, we're not going to the doctor. I'm going to take you, and we're going to find help for you." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's when I took him over to Mineral Springs, and the lady Janet there helped my son and I. But, it's funny because when you start opening it up, I had experiences when I was a kid that I ignored. And my mother, my grandmother, I found out that my grandmother's brother saw ghosts his whole life, and he was frightened to death of it, and he didn't want anything to do with it. But, almost like you're born with it, and either your parents are going to educate you about it, or they're just going to, like you said, just ignore it,
Well, and I even see a big trend anyway, because I work with angels. Angels have a really great broad perspective of the big picture, where obviously our perception is very limited because we live in our own lives. Angels see the big picture. And I see throughout history how our parents, that generation, for the most part, were really shut down. They were coming out of the Depression, they were kids during that. So they were coming out of this really oppressive energy, not supported at all spiritually. And it was, in fact, it was pretty dominant religious-based teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they had us as kids. And I see us, our generation, as adults, are the change makers. We are the one that said the cycle ends on whatever level that meant for us in general, of course. This is all just big picture. But we are the parents that gave our children the openness. We are the ones that found the openness for ourselves and claimed it and have been working on it, so that when our children came in, they wouldn't have to work on that kind of karmic level. They would be able to come into this world and just get to work, not have to go through the forgetting and the remembering and all of that trauma that it takes to remember who you are. They get to come in and just be who they are. And then their children and their children and their children, that is really, to me, the big picture. That's what this whole big shift is about, is we're paving the way for these new children to come in. So it's really why I think that ADD and ADHD and autistic and Asperger's and all of these really high levels of diagnoses for these children are misdiagnoses. They're actually really incredibly gifted psychic children coming in ready to change our world, because it's decreed, it's agreed upon. This is what we said we would do. So big picture, I see it being perfectly placed and right on time.
Yeah. So how did you get into doing past lives?
Well, I've always had a fascination. I've always opened to the possibility. And so when I would do readings, well, actually it started for myself. I had a past life regression. Someone bought it for my birthday a few years back, and I thought that was a very unique gift and fascinated me beyond just, oh, my goodness, so many things made sense. Then later down the road when I started doing readings, I would actually stumble on them accidentally. Someone would be telling me, well, I don't know why I'm really afraid of bridges. I wish I could get over that. I wish I could get past that. And as they were talking, I would see this tendril, this fishing line type attachment come out of them. And I would just follow it with my eyes. And then at the end of it, I would start seeing this movie play out about, oh, they committed suicide by jumping over the bridge. And, you know, I would see this whole big story. And I started telling them. And even though they wouldn't have an actual memory of it, the emotion would go through them. And they would recognize it was real for them on an emotional level. And so even though I don't do hypnosis-style past life regression, I can just kind of follow the tendril when their guides are telling me that it is about a past life, they'll start showing me the past life. And it was pretty accidental how it just kind of all started.
Well, I've never, not that I disbelieved, because I've heard some really incredible stories about children. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Deb and Nick Lance?
The name sounds familiar, but I'm not placing it.
Okay. Well, they're pretty well known in the paranormal field. They do a lot of events. And Deb's son, Nick, started telling his mom, like when he was 5 years old, that he was having, like, I don't know if it was dreams or visions of him on a battlefield, and he had this scar on his neck, and it's round, and it's a birthmark, not a scar, I'm sorry. And he was telling Deb that, you know, he was shot in the neck. He was a soldier. And, like, as the years progressed, you know, he would get more information. And through the years, he actually got down to a name. Like he said, this is who I was and this is what happened to me. I was shot in the neck. And his mom went and actually looked up the information and found out that in, I think it was Gettysburg, in fact there was a man by this name that was shot in the neck. So I believe it, but I never believed it like for myself. But, like, the last couple years, I've been having dreams about somebody. And they are progressing. And, like, every dream has been, like, of this time. But just last week, I had a dream that was not during this time. Like, I was walking around, like, almost like a dungeon-type place. And the light source was fire. And I was showing this person, like, a hidden room. And,
wow.
I mean, really, I shouldn't be dreaming about this person on a consistent basis. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
yeah.
I'm not like that, you know, like, you know, we're friends, but we're not like, you know, but like the first time I saw a picture of him, like, I just started having, like, you know, just feelings coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know this person, and, like, I just couldn't explain it, but I always, like, watch this person, and very curious about this person. So
that's usually how it feels, like, when you have a memory or you have a dream, even though to look at them visually you don't recognize them, there's a response. And it's hard to place because it's so against what we're used to or, you know, what we're told. And that's what I mean, like, when I'm doing a reading and I'm playing this this video for them that I'm seeing, and I'm telling them what's happening, even though there's no hardcore evidence in their memory bank, there is a reaction on an emotional level, and it can be various reactions. You know, sometimes people cry, they'll shake, they'll get angry, they'll feel whatever that person is expressing in the moment. It's quite beautiful. It really, and my whole theory
it's
about
really weird. Like this person is coming through on my ghost box too, and giving me information, almost like backing up what like the messages that I'm getting. And so it's really been freaking me out. Like full name is coming through. And
yeah.
And then I'll say, do you have a message for this person? And it will tell me the message, and it backs up, like, the feeling that I got, like, from the first time I even saw a picture of this person. So it's like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, it kind of freaks
yeah.
me out, but whatever, you know. But it is very fascinating, you know, to hear, you know, stories, especially like Nick, where you can actually get down to a name, and also the fact that he has a birthmark on his neck, and he had a 5-year-old child saying, "I was shot in the neck right here. This is where I was shot in the neck." So to actually, like, you know, hear those kind of stories where you can actually back it up with documented evidence that this person existed, that's just phenomenal to me. And I
yeah.
believe that Nick and Deb wrote a book about it. Have you ever had that strong of a case that you've worked with for somebody?
Not in children, not whenever they've taken me places to show me things like that. My work with past lives are on a healing aspect, in the sense that my whole theory about it is the only reason we carry around the memories to begin with is because it's something that's left undone. Because we don't, in my experience, I don't really remember the good times. I only remember the ones that are out of balance, the ones that are what I would say unfinished. And it's like most things in the universe, everything really just wants to be acknowledged. And so let's say if we have a lifetime where there's a lot of pain, torture or sadness or abuse, and we die without completing something within ourselves. And I don't mean karma. I don't mean, you know, that judgment making
right.
bad things good again. I mean just our own level of, wow, I really, really did not complete that the way I wanted to. Our soul
right.
will set it up again. Our soul will want to either revisit that on another lifetime, or will bring it with us to remind ourselves that it is unfinished. Now, on a soul level, we're very aware that we've done this, but as we, part of the deal, as we're born, we also agree to forget all of the deals. So you're reborn. You forget that you're wanting to learn what you left unfinished, yet you have this nagging feeling. And so it is why we repeat patterns, like we'll get into a specific relationship over and over again. It's why some people are addicted and they can't quite pinpoint why. And there's lots of reasons why we do things what we do, but sometimes it's connected to this unfinished part of our lifetime. And so if we can go back and, well, here's what's going on back there. This is what it's reminding you. It's reminding you, hey, let's try to do better next time. Let's not do that again. So if we can get back there and acknowledge it, it will unravel that hold on the person's current experience. And so that's really where I focus my work, is releasing people from, you know, assisting them in releasing what is unfinished for them.
Yeah. For people who are listening, is there a website that you have that people would be able to contact you about this?
Yep. My central website is embracewithin.com. And that's where all my little, my center universe of all information.
Nice. Very nice. So do you do like a events and where you do galleries and speaking and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's it depends on what I'm signing up for. I've got a few speaking engagements. I'm also in the world of steampunk, which is the Victorian cosplay arena of awesomeness, and I'm doing a speaking engagement in December for that. And there's just different things going on. I'm trying to juggle everything in my head right now, but my biggest focus right now is working on a television pilot. That is my top priority at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you working with a production company on that?
Oh, yeah. We're working on looking at the production schedule. We're also looking at another event to work in coordination with the series. I'm very careful about what I'm explaining, only because we're not ready to announce. So I
understand.
Carefully. Yeah.
You got to keep the creative development quiet. I understand. But
absolutely.
No, that's wonderful. I hope the best for you, and that you get to share with the world your gift, because people who have gifts, I have so much respect for, because you guys are just, you're open so much more than the average person, and it is a gift,
Well, and honestly, the biggest part of the whole service that I am is to assist people in getting that they are that sensitive if they want to be. It's something that they can work on. Yes, I do believe that some people are born psychic or born to be mediums, where they just come out of the womb and, man, they just take off running and they've done it their whole life. But I didn't have that experience. I had to work on mine. I had to open it and trust
develop
it. And develop the tools. And so I really do believe that anybody can do it. And so that's part of the service I want to provide is assisting people in having that for themselves if they want.
Yeah. Well, like you said, we're all born with it. It's just, are we willing to accept it? And are we willing to, when something happens, are we willing to pay attention to the messages that we are receiving? And are we accepting of them, or are we just throwing them off? And there's so many skeptics out there that they don't even pay attention, in my opinion, to their own signs, that they receive, because they just don't want to believe.
And that's okay. I mean, everybody's going to have, that's the right of being a human, is everyone has choice on what they want to do with that. I'm just simply showing up to the ones that are interested and open. So they're the ones I give my attention to.
Yeah. So what exactly do you do with the angel part of what did Kevin say that you do? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Everything I do is angelic-based, in the sense that I work so closely with my own team, and I've got several different groups of angels that I work with depending on what I'm doing. But specifically when I'm working with a client, I am going past them, and I'm looking at their guidance team. I'm looking at their guardian angels. I'm looking at their spirit guides and anybody else that's working with them at the moment, and basically giving that person the messages that their team is wanting them to have. And so the way I see it is, before we're born, we set up this beautiful journey of a human experience, and we have at least two guardian angels and at least one spirit guide that agree to be with us the whole way from before we're born until after we die. And they remember everything we said we wanted to be. They remember everything we set up for ourselves because, again, when we're born, we agree to forget everything. So my whole theory is I want to just bypass what the human thinks they're supposed to be doing and go to the source and say, what is it you would like them to know that's going to serve their highest good? And so I give them those that guidance, those messages, and it supports a person in getting in the right direction for them, the direction that they set up for themselves, and it's very efficient work.
Yeah. Well, I hope that your TV show or your pilot that you're doing has something to do with that, because I personally, I have seen two angels in my life, and I believe it was the same one. It was a woman. Huh?
Hello.
Chopping up.
Hello.
At the age of 9, I saw the most beautiful, white.
Yeah. Joe, you're chopping up bad. Am I chopping up? Hello?
We all are. We're just chopping.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
You there, Morgan?
Yeah, well,
Morgan, you there?
Really bad. You guys can hear me, but I can't hear you at all.
Uh-oh.
Try calling back in.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Wow, it got bad.
Yeah. She can call back.
Yeah.
Or maybe she can't hear you.
Huh?
She's not hanging up, so I don't think she can hear you. Morgan, if you can hear us, will you hang up and call back? Okay, you know what? Then I'm going to rise above and I'm going to just hang up on her, okay? Kevin?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Sorry.
You sound like a robot.
Okay.
Hey, Morgan, if you can hear us, can you hang up and call back? Shit. I'm hanging up on her, Kevin.
You need to call. You might have to call back, too. I can't hear you.
All right, I'll hang up on you, too. I'll call back.
All right. Sorry, folks, if you're out there, we're having technical difficulties. I don't know what the audio is up to tonight.
Hello?
Morgan. Hey, Morgan, can you call back? Hello? I don't even think anybody can hear me. Shit.
the whole thing is shut down. Congratulations.
Yeah, Morgan?
I am here.
Hang on, let me get Jody back. Well, I just gave Bob Talk to the session. Let's see. Oh, man. Sorry, folks. Hopefully in the archives, I'll have to put a tag on this one that you're going to have to fast forward through the long, drawn-out pause.
Yeah, the bathroom break.
Yeah, that was our break, everyone out there, because we are live right now. Oh, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Jody should be calling back in. Yeah, we were right in the middle of talking about what you do on residential as far as talking to the support team behind the client.
Yeah, just talking about angelic guidance. Yeah, it's a really cool process because the whole way I see it is that we're all just trying to do our best. Like, we're just trying to figure it all out. And for me, going to my guys is the fastest way to figure it out because I don't know everything. I can't see everything that they see. So I like that they are there. I like that I can go to them and ask for their support and ask for their suggestions of what I should do now.
Exactly. Now, do you think that people that pass away that might be significant in your life, can they become like a spirit guide or a guardian?
No, not technically, because your guardian angels and your spirit guide are with you from before your birth. So when I talk about a spiritual team or a guidance team, they are people and beings that are set up before you're actually born. Now, can a grandmother that has passed away be someone that supports you? Yes. Can your great-great-grandfather be your spirit guide? Yeah. If it's somebody you haven't actually met in life because they have been with you since before you're born. So it's kind of a technicality, but I totally get that, you know, family members and friends can be there in support, but I'm specifically talking about like a person's spiritual guidance team.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, because I had a girlfriend of about 3 years, and she passed away suddenly. And a lot of people I talk to says she's always around me, you know, and kind of like a guardian angel type figure in my life that just kind of watches over me. And so, you know, that's why I asked that.
Yeah, I do think that people stay with us, their choice. Now, doing the paranormal work, it's always kind of a checkpoint for me to make sure that that person has actually crossed over and then comes back in support. Because if they haven't crossed over yet, they're still hanging on to their earthly life. They're still hanging on to the emotion, to the physicality. And the longer they stay without crossing over, the more unhealthy it is for them, if that makes sense.
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, energy-wise, I know because of the fact that I've had, I have members on my team that have gifts. We use psychics in our investigation mediums along with our equipment. We like to try to do what I say, both ends of the rainbow, you know?
Right.
To me, to get the full picture when you're investigating, you got to use everything. Not only equipment to validate, but people's bodies and people's gifts are a critical part, in my opinion, of really getting down to what's going on. And I think Jody called in. Yep, there she is.
Yeah,
you there, Jody?
I'm back. Yay!
Yeah. But we were talking about, of course, they haven't fixed everything. The chat room is down for everybody that wants to know. But we were talking about angels and whatnot. And what I was getting to with Morgan is, in your experiences working with angels, I know one of my former members, he's had some experiences with archangels coming to him personally, like in his yard, just boom, right there. And he goes out there and he said it was Gabriel, and Gabriel's energy was so powerful that in his words, he didn't know whether or not to poop his pants or throw up. Because the energy was just so powerful, you know, it was like something he had never felt before. Have you ever come across that?
Oh, yeah, I actually work with archangels. They're my favorite. Oh, they're so amazing. See, the difference between guardian angels and archangels is guardian angels are specifically assigned by agreement to a person. And so a person will have their guardian angels their whole life. But the archangels are kind of a little bit above that, like a step above, where they can work with multiple people simultaneously, and each archangel has kind of like a specialty. So like Archangel Gabriel works with people on a communication level. If you're a writer or on the radio or on TV, and you're not quite sure of your words and you'd like a little assistance, you can ask Archangel Gabriel. And Archangel Raphael is the angel of healing. And so if you're a doctor, a nurse, a practitioner of any sort that revolves around healing, you can call on Archangel Raphael. And so that's kind of just a little bit extra assistance for us. If we learn what Angel does what, then you have that team to call on if you need them.
Right. And what I found really interesting was my friend has got gifts. He's very powerful in his gifts because he's been blessed with just about every, you know, how different people that have gifts, they have different things that are their strong point. Well, he has just about every gift is his strong point. Some just operate a little bit differently depending on what happens, where he's at. But his spirit guide has never revealed himself to him until a couple months ago. And his spirit guide revealed himself, and it's the Archangel Raphael.
Okay.
You still there?
I am.
Yeah, and so, and Raphael, because some of our members are digging into other realms as far as like paganism, Wiccan, those kind of things, and doing a lot of research, you know, because the way we look at it, we need to know all facets, how everything, how different people believe in different things. For one reason, if you come across a client like that, you know? And he said that because they were studying deities of the Wiccan, right? And the deities, they have different names and whatnot, but Raphael's like, those deities are us. We're just referred to in a different religion as a different name. And it was all tying together. Like, that's very interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, humans love labels. And just throughout history, I mean, if you go through all the different belief systems, there are similarities in all of the stories of what the gods and goddesses represent, like the deities. And so, but you'll just get different versions of the story depending on what side of the planet you're on and, you know, and at what century you're living in. So I see it that way too. However, I like to distinguish if I'm talking to Isis or if I'm talking to Archangel Jophiel. I like the distinctions between them. And the beauty of angels and deity, they're happy to oblige. They're happy to be what we need them to be. That's the most beautiful thing about angels is they're happy to do what makes us feel comfortable, show up in ways that will have us feel relaxed and comfortable and connected to them. They're not interested in making us afraid or making us feel like we're being tested or no, they like to help us, so they're going to make it easy for us.
Yeah, and you know, Jody and I have talked about this several times on air. I guess because of the fact that it's the in thing to do, because we all go through, in the entertainment industry, they go through phases of what is the in thing now to do. Because now it seems like most movies, even the paranormal shows for a lot of the time, they focus more on the bad. They focus more on the inhuman, the demonic per se. And you know, because I remember that really great show with Michael Landon, where he was an angel and he went around helping people. Yeah, Highway to Heaven, there you go. From our generation. And you know, nowadays they don't focus as much on the angelic side, you know, and that's what Jody talks about too. That I think that people need to focus more on the good. Put your mind in a good spot. Think about the good things and the good deeds that these angels do for people instead of focusing on, you know,
you never hear of people, especially in the paranormal field, researching events or places that might have reoccurring angel sightings or whatever. Nobody in the paranormal field cares.
Yeah.
Or even on TV. Like, you never, you know, I can't say that. I don't watch any of the shows. So I don't know what they're doing, but it seems like they're always just going to locations. And it's hilarious to me because just recently there was a show that aired, and they went to a location and said that the place had, oh, my God, it was just, you know, major demonic activity. And I actually went there for an event, and you could lock me up in that place for a week, and I wouldn't find a demon. You know what I mean? So it cracks me up, just the way that TV misleads people so bad, but you just don't see anything on angels. And, you know, if there's demons, there's angels. And we're lacking education, in my opinion, about that.
Well, that's exactly where I stand. That is exactly why I am pushing to get the television show and the events that I'm creating, because I agree with you. I see a whole big movement in the focusing on the fear and the dramatization and just outright ridiculous behavior for adults. I mean, come on, reality TV has, it's really stupid. And it's really stupid. It's all focused on how can we be rude to each other and how can we put each other down. And so my whole thing about that is I know that our craving for drama has increased. I'm not sure on a big picture, I'm not sure what that has to play into the shifting of the planet. However, all I can do is what I can do, and I know what I stand for, and so I'm wanting to bring an element of education, talk about all of these things that I'm talking about, and I want to bring an element of healing and awareness for people to understand that it's not a demon every single time you have something happen in your house. Who is it? What are they wanting? You know, go ask them what they want. Go ask them, why are they upset? That's what they're trying to do, is get your attention. And so my whole thing is find out what they want, see how you can help, help them heal, cross them over, if that's what they want to do.
Well, if your show is focusing on that avenue, tell your producer or whoever, production company that you're working with, that this is an excellent idea because, you know, me being like a mother of four, I have three small children. I would be able to actually sit down and watch something like that with my children, whereas I would not, you know, ask my little guys to watch something about, you know, other shows going to demonic locations, because then they'll be having nightmares and, you know, the boogeyman in the house. But so in my opinion, that type of show will get more ratings, because right now the shows are getting ratings from, most of them are women that are watching these shows, and they're from teenagers all the way up, you know, with their moms, and less men. But if you know, an angel show, it would just open up as a family experience, which would be bonding time for a family, or a mother with children, or a father with children, and it would be okay for the children, you know? And it would, it would give them hope that when they're down and out, they can ask their angel, you know, they'll learn how to try and communicate with them. I think, you know.
Well, and the truth of the matter is that, again, most children coming in are already going to understand it. They're already going to resonate with it, even though the language may be different. And it'll actually ease the parents for those gifted children, because that's really where a lot of the fear is that parents have these incredibly psychic children and they don't necessarily know how to support them. And so that'll bridge that for the families. So that's any project I do, and this is why I'm so grateful for the people I'm working with, is any project I'm involved with has to have integrity, has to have education, has to be about healing. And thankfully, I've got people that are listening to that. So that is a very, very good thing. I think the world is ready. That's where I stand. I really do.
Yeah. Because, you know, with
with all the recent, you know, this year has just been nuts as far as energy wise, activity wise. My client, you know, clientele more and more are calling me, and more not so nice or darker entities or just inhuman buttholes that are out there that are messing with folks. And, you know, and you turn on the television for the news and it's always something horrific that's going on in the world. And I just think we need to have more positivity out there, you know?
Yeah. I think we're going to start shifting. I do. I think we're about to hatch out of the ridiculousness of what's out there. I think we're about just done with how stupid it can get. I'm seeing a shift and seeing that people are really craving more. And I'm hoping that that's what I get to be a part of, is that craving of, what do I do now? What can I take, and what can I learn, and what can I do with all of this that's happening? So that's my goal.
Question. Do you have your cast done yet?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to refer somebody that I know is a very amazing psychic, and he also, you know, loves the angel part of it, and
cool.
uses that as his guide. His name is Justin cool. Chase Mullins.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
I haven't.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's cool. So when are you gonna start filming your pilot, or have you?
I am not at liberty to say.
Okay.
Yeah,
I really hope that, you know, to see you on TV, because you're not only a beautiful person on the outside, but you are on the inside as well. And you know, I'm like complete opposite of you, okay? Like, I'm a wild child. I get out there and I push it so hard, but I'm collecting stuff that I can't even believe, you know what I mean? So it's kind of my thing, and
oh no, don't mislead,
you know.
Don't be misled. I am a badass at what I do. I fight for it. Oh yeah. No. I work with angels, but I also work with the pretty badass goddesses. And yeah, no, I fight. I fight for what I believe in, and that's something that I'm very grateful for. So there's not a lot that's going to get in my way. I've already made my mind up.
It must be the Texas girl in you, right, Kevin?
I see that. Yep. I see that, and the fact that I'm Aries, and the fact that I've worked my ass off to get here, and there isn't anything that's going to stop me. So it's a culmination of many
experiences. That is a really, really strong side. My mother was an Aries, and, you know, I don't think I would be who I am if it hadn't been for her. Like, growing up, it was kind of, like, hard. Like, I watched my mom work her butt off, but, like, as an adult, like, she taught me so much, and her and I are so not compatible, like, sign-wise.
Uh-huh.
But, she is the strongest woman that I know, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Aries rock.
Yeah. You guys are strong, independent women that you have your own mind, man. Don't even mess with it, because I'll tear you down.
Exactly. So I'm all soft and fuzzy when I need to be, but I'm hard when I need to be, so.
Yeah, and, you know, it's Jody was on 2020. It hadn't aired yet, but it's about women in the paranormal and how even in the paranormal field, when it first, you know, it's been going on for decades and in hundreds of years, but as far as when it came to the mainstream, you know, it was a male-dominated field. And more and more women are getting involved. More and more women that have gifts are getting involved. You know, and I think that women are just as important to the field as the men are. So I like seeing when women empower themselves to help not only clients but to bring awareness to the field.
Well, I mean, so let's just be really honest. I don't feel it has to be male or female. I think it's the right person. Like,
Exactly. And
it's true. There are a lot of genres out there, not just paranormal. There's a lot of things out there that are quote unquote male dominated, and that's okay. And I see the big picture of that, but it's also about just people stepping up, because it's male dominated, there's a lot of jerks in the field. I mean, just because they're the males doesn't mean they're doing it any better if they're closed-minded and closed-hearted. And then there's a lot of women that are just not providing the right energy either. So I look at it across the board. Who is the person? What are they bringing? What are they standing for? What's their integrity? So that's the way I blur the duality of it. Step up. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Now, when dealing with clients, do you find a lot of the times that, and of course you talk to their support team, a lot of the times, don't you feel like that you're like a counselor in a way? Because I know all the clients that I've dealt with in the past and dealing with right now, a lot of times you have to help them get their life on track. Like, you've got to bring awareness to what they're doing in the home, the kind of energy that them and their family members are putting off that is fueling all the activity. You know, and it's kind of like, when I sit down with a client and I explain to them, I'm like, look, we're not like an exterminator. We don't just spray magic dust in here and the spirit's gone, right? We don't do that. And I said, you know, and I tell them, in order for us to remove the spirit, we first have to fix the people living here, right? We have to fix the energy in this home, because if we don't fix you guys, it doesn't matter what we do with the spirit. Another spirit will come in, or even that spirit will be invited back in. And you finding that as true as well in what you do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of what I do is spiritual counseling, because it's not about giving people yes, no answers of where I see them in 5 years, because I don't think that that's empowering. I honor people that are straight psychics, but that isn't what I do. I definitely take a person, look at what they're experiencing right now, tear it apart. Let's look at what's working. Let's look at what's not working and get you all polished up, get you some new tools, and move you along. Because the truth of the matter is, if you don't find the source as to why a person is out of balance, they're just going to get back there.
Right.
So if you don't find out their phobias or their programs or their low self-esteem or their chatty issues or anything else.
Yeah, you got to get in their brain.
The programming is going to run the show. Now, the beauty of doing spiritual counseling is I can do that psychically. I can go in and get past their blocks and look at what they can't see, bring it out and put it on the table. Now we have something to work with. Now they're seeing things that they can't see on their own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked with anybody with incubus cases?
No, I don't.
No?
There's some that kind of come across that have entity energy on them, not so much incubus as succubus. I don't get into the details and labels of it, but definitely with entity attachment, I work. That's kind of where my realm works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been working with, or I have through the years, kind of, I guess you could say, researched about 4 women. And I just have come to the conclusion, like, they're mental. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't happening. It's happening in their head. They're creating it because they're so freaking all over the place and, you know, showing signs of, like, multiple personalities because, you know, one day I could have one conversation and I get all this, you know, information and then talk to him 2 weeks later. They could call up and be like, you know, tell me what happened. And then they'll have a different feeling on it. And it's just like, okay, and the next time it's different. And, you know, I'm just, I noticed a pattern, like, between them that, so, you know, it's weird.
Yeah.
How many cases do you think you get that are like, you know, people just like with mental,
that
you know, like it's them.
That have entity issues?
Like they feel they do, but it's just really like you were saying earlier, you get into that person and you find out their fears and, it, you know, like some people create their own stuff, you know.
Well, of course they do, but it's usually opposite for me. Usually someone comes to me feeling crazy. Like, they're like, I don't know why I can't get this. I don't know what I'm missing. And it'll turn out to be an entity. And so it's opposite. Like, people come to me feeling scattered and feeling crazy or whatever, you know, terminology they use at the time. And 9 times out of 10, they have an entity attached. We can remove that, reset them, reground them, heal that aura tear, put them back in place, and it brings their clarity back into focus.
Yeah.
I'm not a big person on I don't support people in blaming anything. That's something I'm very big on. So if someone were to come to me and say, oh, I think I have entities on me, I typically say, let's look at you first, because if they're trying to blame it away, that's displacement. They're trying to not take ownership of something, and I don't support people in that. You can ask any of my friends, any of my clients. I'm not someone that will vilify this outside force. I'm going to go to the source of the person, and we're going to look at that first and support them to take ownership. That's where real growth and healing comes from.
Yeah. I had to get real with a couple clients of mine last week because of the fact that we worked with them several times, been over their house numerous times. We worked on them, got them where they should be, and then we cleansed the home, pushed the entity out, and they no longer had activity. It went, you know, good energy in the home. It was a good vibe for almost 3 months. And then I get a phone call last week. Oh, the stuff has started cranking up again, blah, blah, blah. I said, hold up. We got rid of the entity. The entity is not there. Why is there activity happening now? What did y'all do? Right? That was exactly what I said to her. And she's like, well, and she's got a lot of health problems. She's on so many drugs and you know, bless her heart, her health's not good. And she fell on the front porch and she immediately blamed it on it had to have been a spirit that knocked me down. Right?
Right.
And I said, hold up. I said, ma'am, your health's in bad shape. How do you know your health didn't cause this? I said, don't immediately start passing the buck to something else and giving a spirit credit that they probably didn't even do, because when you start giving it credit again, you're inviting it back in. You're wanting it to come in your home
again. You're giving them your power when you do that. You're saying you are more powerful than I, and that's the invitation.
Yep. And, so I had a heart-to-heart with them and told them all that, and I explained that to them. And I said, you need to move on in your lives and not worry about the spirit world and where the spirit is and all that. I said, focus on y'all's lives. Focus on your health. Focus on getting yourself better. You know, and her husband was on the, you know, I had them all on the speaker, and I was I wasn't mean, but I was straight to the point, and I was very stern in what I told them, and I haven't had another phone call from them. So hopefully my message in their head, because, like you said, people nowadays easily want to pass the buck that it's never their fault. They don't want to take ownership of anything. And a lot of the times, I would say almost 95% of the time, someone in the home is the reason some of this activity is happening. Now, not all the time, because sometimes there's spirits of loved ones that maybe have died tragically, and the family is, you know, still mourning and not really wanting to get on with their lives. And these spirits will come and try to get their attention in order for a message to be sent to them saying, hey, I'm okay. I'm in a better place. Y'all need to move on with your life, you know? And, but a lot of the time, like you said, you know, they pass that buck, they turn that power over to those spirits. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've told a client, I said, look, what people don't realize is most of the activity in people's home, if they take ownership of the home, they take ownership of their actions, and they take control of their house, where they live, the spirits will leave. Because they do have certain rules that they live by, depending on what the spirit is, they'll go. If you ask them to leave, they'll go. But you have to take control, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you, Kevin.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, it's not for people that are getting into the paranormal, unless you do a lot of residentials. I think we're up to, gosh, probably about 60 that we've done since we've been a group. You know, you learn on the fly, because basically every case is different. Every person is different. And I know that the direction we've been going and all the people we talk to, it all boils down to you have to start with the people in the home and move from there. And, I just wish more people that, you know, if you are listening and you do have problems in your home, start looking at yourself first. Do a self-evaluation of yourself and your family members and go from there, you know, because you can fix the problems without having to call one of us if you really put your mind to it.
Well, I tell people that, you know, you are the strongest person in the room at any given time, because I know that a lot of people, when they're talking about having disturbances in the home, they want to burn sage or call a priest or do a prayer, do a blessing. You know, they want to have all these other people do these healings on their house. And I understand that, and I honor that. But at the same time, people also get to get that they are the most powerful person. They get to say who lives in their house and who gets to say, like what you're saying. So I just see this epidemic of people giving away their power, saying to even people like me, you are stronger than I am. I don't know how to do this. You have to do it for me. I'll do it, but at the same time, I'm going to educate them on how to do it for themselves, because like what you said, that's really what is going to continue their peace, is that if they know they have boundaries, they have say, and they step into that power, then they won't have disturbances.
Yeah, like the clients I was just referring to earlier, when we cleanse their home, we had them do it, right? We walked with them. We showed them what to do, but we had them do it. We had them take control of their house and talk to the entity and have them help drive it out, because like you said, we can do it, but if you empower those people and show them the ways, and that way they can control their home. And if they have any problems in the future, they'll know how to assess the situation and fix it, you know? So that's part of what we do, is we educate as we go, and hopefully that spreads the message to people, you know? I'd rather have more and more people out there that know how to live a good life and not have these issues than having, you know, 20 people call me in a week having problems, you know? So,
well, we just got to keep doing it. We just keep educating.
Yeah.
I think that's just keep getting the word out. That's the way, you know, that's the way it happens. So,
yeah, and, you know, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, I think that it's time for a television show out there that does that education, that you can sit there and go, I can relate to that. I can take some of this away from what I saw on the show and apply it to my own life. And that's crucial in today's world. There's just so much dismay right now. And like you said, hopefully there'll be a shift. And because that's just the way the world works. There's always shifts in energy, you know, and that's just how it works. People don't realize it, but it does. There's a lot of energy shifts in the world. And I know a friend of mine that has abilities. And when that earthquake hit in China, she got sick. She felt the vibrations from it, you know, psychically.
Yeah.
So,
hey, I got a question. I had a dream last week that Hillary Clinton was president. Do you think she's going to become president?
Well, it's hard for me to answer that because I have my own very strong opinion, so it's probably better that I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, you don't want to bring up politics anytime because it gets just heated. But,
it's an interesting conversation. She has a very good chance, but I stay out of the political game. That is not my arena.
Okay,
yeah.
And I am okay with it.
Yeah, it's a pretty sketchy place to follow.
Yeah,
it gets complicated. But I just thought it was really weird that, like, here I am. It was so bizarre. Like, I was in a room with her, and a black woman was interviewing her for a TV show. I wasn't on the TV show. It was like she was interviewing her, and I was just sitting there being, you know, observing it, and then I left, and, but, like, she was the president.
Well, and the truth is that in the angelic conversation, it doesn't matter who's going to be president, because the world that we know it, the old world, is dying off. The old systems that are fear-based are ending. So not that I'm evading the question, it doesn't matter. In my language, I don't know how to say this other than saying I don't really care, because I'm trusting the process so greatly that
we should let us the process. I mean, we just had some bombings because they, you know, and we were warned by the Russians that, you know, the sky was a possible terrorist, and they let him go. So our system sucks, but we'll just get away from that altogether. but I was just throwing that out there. See what you would say.
But what's funny about tonight is when I sent my semi-nasty, well, no, I won't say it's semi, it was pretty nasty email out there to the radio folks that run this operation. It was about 5 minutes later that the studio came back up and we got back up on air. So I'm glad they listened to me.
Well,
because I wanted to finish my conversation with Morgan.
I know. I was so sad. I was like, no. I even went online. I'm like, I'm liking this. Because we were just getting to the angels. And so what else do you do that Kevin covered? Because that was a big, long list. that we may have forgotten real quick because we only have like 10 minutes left?
I also channel. I have an ability to move out of the way and channel, like what we were talking about earlier, divinity, divine beings, either angels or deities or other beings of light. That's one of my favorite things that it's quickly becoming one of my favorite things to do. I'm also a member of the paranormal investigative team, and this is something that's very new for me because I've always focused on the spiritual side of it, and I've always done the medium work. I haven't had the investigative side as an experience, but I got to go out with a team last weekend that was serendipitous on how we met. Everything just fell in place. It was perfect. And then we went to Seguin, Texas, to the historical Magnolia Hotel. Had a blast. We meshed really well because this team is a lot like you guys were. They're very open to the spiritual, even though they do the technology and the tools and the, you know, all of that. We meshed really well, and I want to give an amazing shout out to them. I love them so much. North Texas Ghost Society out of the Fort Worth area. Such a great time. And then they officially asked me to be a member for as long as I'm able to, of course. Yeah, for as long as I'm able to. We all know that I've got some big wheels in motion, and there's a chance that I may not get to work with them very long. But in the meantime, they've taken me in and made me part of the family, so I'm very grateful for that. I'm learning a lot.
I know those guys very well, and they're coming to my conference in October.
Very cool. Yeah, they're great.
How far
people.
Are you from heaven?
She's about I'm
about
an hour and a two half. Hours. Yeah, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
How do you do your event? Are you like selling booths, or do you just invite people? How is that working?
Well, to kind of make it fun for the paranormal folks, I basically invite and filter who I have there as far as the teams, because I want all the teams to get along and be educational, and it worked last year. We had a blast and zero drama, zero. And so that's where we do
so
it.
She's
and
part of the team, and she gets to come.
Oh yeah, they've already bought a booth. They're in. So Morgan,
yep.
Whether or not you're around them, you're affiliated with them. So if you're not doing anything enough, you'll have to come.
Yep. When I get my production schedule, I will definitely know a little bit more of my schedule. It's hard for me to map out my year because I have no idea yet. And so when I know more, I will be able to set some dates. So I'm looking forward to stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is part of it where your ability, your gifts, you can't really predict the future. You're kind of having to wait and see.
Well, I'm trusting the process is the truth of it. I have an agreement with my team that I don't need to know all the answers. I'm trusting the process, and it works for me, so I'm fine with that. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, we're down to the last 6 minutes, so anything that you want to throw out there for people to check out your website and whatever else, you can plug all that now. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. You still there?
I am. Sorry, you cut out a little bit.
I'm sorry. Oh, I was just giving you an opportunity to throw your website out there again and anything else that you want to, any events or anything you're going to be at here upcoming, it's your opportunity to plug on that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, my website is embracewithin.com. Feel free to find me on Facebook. I use Facebook mostly for work, so that's a fun place to get instant announcements. I am participating in the Dallas Psychic Fair, and it's every first Sunday of the month, and it's located at the Doubletree over on Midway area by 635. Sorry, but it's just look up Dallas Psychic Fair. And other events are way down the road, but if you go to my website, that's really where I'm going to be announcing everything. So that's the best place to go.
Very nice. Very nice. Well,
it
thank
was
you
so
again.
Awesome to meet you.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed speaking with you tonight.
Thanks.
And
thanks
I hope the best for your future. And, you know, if you are on TV, I give you my word, I will plug in. And, you know, if it's good for the kids, then I will support you. And then you'll have
thank
to come
you.
Back on and chat with us and tell us, you know, all the
yeah.
stuff you couldn't tell us now. So
I know. It's really driving me crazy because I am such a sharer. It's hard.
Well, I understand.
To maintain it.
I have all
yeah.
kinds of stuff that I'm doing that, you know, you just can't go around talking about it because, honestly, what I learned is that people will come in and destroy it. I've had people from TV come in and destroy projects that I'm working on, and I just walk away because it's just like, you know what? Obviously, they can't handle it. You know what I mean?
And the truth is our idea has already been stolen, and we've already redesigned the show two or three times. And so we're being very, very secretive and protective. It's our little baby. So we're not
yeah.
letting the cat out of the bag until it's absolutely the right time. So.
Well,
that's awesome.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Morgan, for coming on and talking with us tonight.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right,
welcome.
Have a good night.
Good night.
All right. That was Morgan Lynn, psychic medium out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And
I loved her. And you better have her
yeah.
at your event so that you can meet her because she is a sweetheart.
Yeah. I got that from talking to her a bunch prior to getting her on the show. And, yeah, definitely. So I get to talk to her again. I get to talk to her again next month. She'll be on Unknown Paranormal Radio. Sunday, May 19th, she'll be on. So I'll get to chat with her again. So now next Tuesday, Jody, we have a gentleman who's actually going to be speaking at my conference in October. He is out of the Conroe area, which is down a little north of Houston. And he is a Bigfoot hunter, and he has a Bigfoot team, and they go out and collect data, you know, on the Bigfoot phenomenon. So we're going to be talking Bigfoot next Tuesday, Jody.
All right. You know, I'm always game for the Bigfoot. And you know what? I'm going Bigfoot hunting this spring once it starts getting a little bit warmer. Chris Mason is going to take me to the area where he found the footprint of Bigfoot, and it's actually a pretty cool story because he was actually ghost hunting in a cemetery, and he heard a big, loud, like, cracking noise, and it was like a tree that had been bent in half, like bent down. Like 10 feet up or something. And
he went
over there and he found gigantic footsteps right by where it happened. And he took pictures of it. And he was actually on Finding Bigfoot for his evidence. So they came out and investigated. They didn't find anything. But so I'm going to go and I'm going to ghost hunt and Bigfoot hunt with him, and I'm bringing my brother because my brother really wants to go. So, yeah, it'll be fun, you know. Have you ever gone Bigfoot?
Oh, no, but since I met Brandon, and he has a Bigfoot team, and he comes to East Texas a lot, I'm going to get that hooked up.
You better. Yeah, you have to so that we can both talk about our experiences, you know? Even if you don't detect anything, it'll be fun just to, you know, get out there and actually try it.
Exactly. So that's what we got going on next Tuesday and tomorrow. I'm going to be logged in and pray that the studio holds up, because Matt and Dennis have put together an amazing show for tomorrow at Full Spectrum Radio. They got a lot of information that has not been released about H.H. Holmes linked to possibly being Jack the Ripper. And Matt doesn't even know the information that's going to be released. They've held out just to specifically release it on Matt's show. So I'm going to pray that I don't have to do another cussing tomorrow. And like I told them, if this keeps on, I will take Unknown Radio Network and all the shows, and we will go elsewhere.
Yes, I'm fully behind you on that. It's something you should have heard me bitch out the cable, okay? Like, what else might it to switch cable networks, you know, to save money? And, like, from the first night, I was like, yeah, this is crap. You get what you pay for, you know what I mean? And we've had problems for 3 weeks now. And, you know, I'm sorry, but do not put a angry woman on the phone with something that sucks, okay? And he calls up Cancel, and they're, like, trying to convince him to stay, and so he hands me the phone, and I'm like, you know what? I freaking went off on him. Like, freaking hung up. I'm like, your crap, it sucks, you know? Like, oh, my God, I just went off. I, you know, something sucks, it sucks, you know? And Blog Talk is sucking. So
and it's not just our network.
They need to come up with a better antivirus, because that's what they're blaming on.
That's what they're saying. And I know it's not just our network. It's during the, what they call the prime time hours, is which one our show airs, and a lot of the shows air, and that's when they're having the most problems. And I talked to a lot of people. And a lot of the shows are having the same issues. It's not just us. They're shut. Like when that shut down earlier on us, every show that was airing at the same time as our show also shut down. So,
there's always a lot of. Do what you got to do. And if you got to invest in more technology to, you know, host it, yeah, I think it has something to do with resetting it. They have to reset it. They have to reset it all. You know, because if they're having, like, a million people log in, it just screws up everything.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said in our personal group with the hosts, I have been researching and looking of possibly building a website, an Unknown Radio Network website, and figuring getting the right software and doing it on our own straight radio station. And then we don't have restrictions. I can add so many more shows, and, you know, you could broadcast 24/7 if you wanted to and replay our shows different times of the day for people that didn't listen to it live and that kind of thing, and just make it its own entity. And so that's what I'm looking into. So, but I'm not going to just jump on something just yet, because there's so many different programs and softwares. So I'm checking things out for us, Jody, to see if we can do that. In the meantime, we have to deal with these issues until that time being, because I want to try to give us a wider audience, a lot more listeners, and reach a lot more people. So that might be where we're going next. So, but in the meantime, I know that everybody on the network is game, because everybody has experienced something
with their shows, and what the people that run the network don't understand is people take time off to call in, to be a guest on the show. We take time out of our lives, and then it gets all screwed up. So,
right.
But anyway.
All right. Do you want to end our time here? We're kind of over. But
yes,
can I play a song? Okay, I'm going to send you a list of songs, okay? And we need to get these uploaded because we need some new tunes. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've been playing some of the new tunes that Justin and Kevin had uploaded. Because I've been kind of since my computer crashed, I haven't been able to get back on and get new songs loaded up. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to send you my own little list, okay?
Okay.
Maybe get a little freaky with you. Get a little jiggy with it. All right, so I'm going to play a song and then we'll be out.
Yep.
Okay.
Now I will tell you what I've done for you. 50,000 tears I've cried.